I mean, no. Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this evening. Good evening to everybody here. Thank you for coming tonight to the public hearing and town hall for the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. For those of you who I haven't had a chance to meet in the past, my name is Marty Noe. I'm a member of the Prince William Board of County Supervisors, as well as being chairman of the NVTA. Those of you who know me or attend a lot of our events will know that I think this night is a really, really big deal, as you can tell by the fact that not only am I wearing a necktie, which is a pretty big deal in the first place, I'm actually wearing pants that match my jacket, because I don't have any denim jackets to go with the pants I usually wear. But I really appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit. I just don't have any. I'm an appliance salesman by day. I'm a pretty casual guy. But tonight's really important. Again, appreciate you being here tonight, and we are here to hear from you all, have our formal public hearing. I'll share that our public comment period has been open for a few weeks now, and we'll be open for another week or so past this, but tonight is the night that we do sort of that traditional, very formalized 3 minutes each presentation. We'll talk a little bit more about that. First, I just want to take some time to share with you a presentation that I've taken around the region in the past and shown to some of our jurisdictions to kind of frame for you some of the work we're doing here at the authority, particularly in the context of this FY17 one-year plan. The only other thing I'll acknowledge is, please forgive me in advance, I talk really fast. And I like to say it's because I'm so excited about regional transportation planning that I just can't contain myself. So again, we're here tonight to talk about the FY17 plan for the NVTA, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what the authority is. The Northern Virginia Transportation Authority is the body that was created back in 2002 by the General Assembly to do a couple of things, the two most notable of which are serve as the regional planning body for transportation for our Northern Virginia region, to make decisions about what our transportation priorities are that transcend just the local comprehensive plans of each individual jurisdiction. The second thing we were created to do was to be the funding source, the body that allocates funds for transportation that are dedicated exclusively to Northern Virginia. Now, again, we were created for that purpose back in 2002, but we didn't actually have those regional funds to allocate in a meaningful way until about a little over 3 years ago, 2013. So we had a long time. We had 11 years where we could practice working regionally before we got to make the kind of decisions we're making over the next month. But we really are the body that that represents the entire region. We're made up of the four counties of the region, Fairfax, Prince William, Loudoun, and Arlington counties, as well as the cities of Alexandria, Manassas, Manassas Park, Fairfax, and Falls Church, as well as our five large towns, Herndon, Vienna, Purcellville, Leesburg, and Dumfries, and then also our transit agencies, the Department of Rail and Public Transit, Virginia Railway Express, Metro, the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, the Potomac-Rappahannock Transportation Commission. It's really important to understand that the decisions we make are not made on behalf of our jurisdictions that we represent at home. They're really the decisions we make on behalf of the entire region and all of the 2 million plus people that live here in what we classically think of as Northern Virginia. So we at the NVTA like to consider ourselves the preeminent transportation planning, coordinating, and funding body in Northern Virginia. And that comes with a heavy responsibility because we're a diverse region. There are days when I like to think of Northern Virginia as just sort of one big city that happens to be elected, served by 14 different elected bodies. On other days, it feels like we are 14 very distinct places and with different needs and different concerns in each of our sub-communities of the region. But everything we do is designed to be built around the concept of working in collaboration. Most of the decisions we make, not all of them, are made unanimously because the hard work of figuring out what's best for the region hopefully gets done before the final vote is taken. Again, tonight what we're talking about is how do we spend the money that Northern Virginia has to allocate for our transportation needs. And obviously this is what gets a lot of the attention for NVTA. And it's partially because, well, frankly, the problem is huge. A phrase some of you may have heard me use before, but I love to use it, is if you've ever lived in the Pacific Northwest, anyone here ever lived in like Seattle or Tacoma? No one? Okay. Well, you've been there. Ron's been there. Good. Okay. So I just love to tell this story. So this was 20 years ago. About 20 years ago, I was on a trip to, I was in Tacoma, Washington. I was with a group of people and middle afternoon and we needed lunch and I went into like a sandwich shop of some type and I ordered whatever I got for lunch. Don't remember what it was. And I remember the woman at the counter asking me, are you sure that you want rye bread? It's not supposed to rain this afternoon. I have no idea what that means. But what it unveiled for me is that there's this phenomenon that if you travel to the Pacific Northwest and you come back to Northern Virginia or Kissimmee, Florida, or Des Moines, Iowa, or wherever you're from, your friends say, how was the Pacific Northwest? And you say, oh, it's beautiful. You got Mount Rainier and you got the Space Needle and you got the fish markets. They talk about the weather all the time. Well, guess what? People from other parts of the country visit Northern Virginia, and then they go home and say, oh, Mount Vernon, and oh, the nation's capital, and oh, Manassas Battlefield, and Prince William, all these wonderful things about Northern Virginia. And those people talk about traffic all the time. This is really the thing that dominates our lives here in Northern Virginia. So the work we do is really important. So everything we do has to be built around our regional plan. We call it the Transaction 2040 plan. Now, the original Transaction plan was called Transaction 2020. I've got a copy of it. There aren't many left. It's about that thick. And it was the plan, what our road network was supposed to look like in 2020. By the way, that's 4 years from now. If you have a copy of it, you will discover we are nowhere even close to what we were supposed to have in 2020. We then adopted Transaction 2030, Transaction 2040, and that's our current plan. So we have to focus on those projects that we've already identified as being regional priorities. The second key requirement of everything we do is that projects that we fund have to be rated under a process called HB 599. Which is a legislative mandate that says we have to look at each project and how much congestion each project will relieve on a regional basis. Now, what's really important to understand is there's no mandate that we fund, first and foremost, the projects that relieve the most congestion. It's an important consideration. But what the legal mandate says is that, first and foremost, we look not just to regional congestion relief, but also to cost. A phrase we'll use a lot is congestion relief relative to cost. Which projects not necessarily are the biggest, but which projects give us the biggest bang for the buck? Because this is your money that we're spending, and we have $300 million a year roughly to spend. It's really not as much money as it sounds like when you consider that we have literally billions upon billions of dollars worth of needs to fix our transportation network. So we have our regional transportation plans, Transaction 2030, Transaction 2040. I'll talk a little more later about the update we're undertaking. But the next round of this year's current plan that we're the road plan we're putting together, talking to you all about tonight, will be the last plan that's based on that Transaction 2040. I mentioned the Transaction 2020 is about this thick. Transaction 2040 is about this thick. The next round of transaction, and we're going to quit putting years at the end of it because it doesn't roll off the tongue nicely, will probably not be available in print form. It's going to be a much bigger, much more robust plan that we're going to have to put online and hand out on CDs and DVDs. But it really is the backbone of everything that we do. I love this slide because you can't read it from the audience. But this is the flow chart of how we make decisions about which projects to fund. And the main point of it is that it's a very interactive process with a lot of feedback. It's not just the people in this room who make the decision. Certainly, we're the folks who take the vote at the end of the day. But there's a multi-month process that involves our transit agencies, our local jurisdictions, the Council of Governments in Washington, D.C. We have to work with VDOT and the Department of Rail and Public Transit and get feedback at multiple levels about which projects are going to have the most impact for the money within our region. And then we use all of that data collectively to make what we think is the most balanced decision for our entire region. And we've had some success with it. This year will be the fourth year that we've had funds to allocate. And I love this number. And I get to my friends from VDOT, I get to give them a hard time, but this is the last year I get to do it. Over the last 3 years, not including the things we'll do this month, we've approved 70 new transit and highway projects for the region in 3 years, totaling $535 million. To put that in context, $535 million in 3 years is more than VDOT has been able to spend on new transportation projects for the entire state in that same period of time, including the projects that we've gotten from the state for Northern Virginia. So we pride ourselves on the fact that we've put a lot of money into transportation very quickly here in the region, trying to get those projects on the ground that'll help you get home from work faster. Now, let me admit, with the new six-year plan that VDOT, the CTB is working on, they will surpass us this year by a lot, probably. But Nick Donahue's nodding his head. We'll let you stick later. But the point is, we are investing your money, and we're doing our best to invest it as wisely as we possibly can. So, whoa. Did
you
do that thing again?
No, but it did something.
Okay, so there we go. So, go ahead. So let's talk specifically about the Draft 17 program. This, by the way, is a picture of this room a year ago today. Some of you may find yourself in it. Go ahead. So we have 24 projects that are being considered this year, 24 candidate projects that were suggested. There's total funding, or their total funding request. We took all the projects, and we decided to fund all of them. The total cost would be $668 million, which is an important number to understand because we only have $267 million in cash available right now. So it would be very difficult, no matter what we do, to fund all of the $668 million worth of projects. But even if we were to just fund many of the projects, because we have some very big projects in there, there's a good chance that we'll have to consider, there's a good chance that we will have to go to the bond markets and borrow money on behalf of the region in order to fund some of the projects that are being considered this year, which is attractive. You can borrow the money. Interest rates are incredibly low. Northern Virginia has a fantastic bond rating. But remember, every dollar we borrow this year is a dollar that we don't have to spend in future years for further investment. So there's a bit of a balancing act we have to undertake. And that difference between $668 million and $267 million will be a really important consideration for us in the coming weeks. We talked about a process, and I showed you that really complicated slide. This is the simpler version of that complicated slide. Each time we consider funding projects, it's a fairly simple equation at the end of the day. We look at these HB 599 scores we talked about, that process that evaluates projects for their congestion relief. We add into that our own internal analysis that looks at a number of qualitative and quantitative factors that help us make decisions that aren't just best in terms of focusing on specific points of congestion, but let us look at it from a regional basis. We add into that discussion of the NVTA, and perhaps more importantly, the discussion that we hear from you, the feedback from the public. All of that ties together to give us a funding plan that we were able to move forward with. The idea is that all of the project, we have a lot of data that goes together. And frankly, I could bore you to death with the number of Excel spreadsheets that can be put up on the screen showing you all the different ways we've analyzed projects. And we spend several months through our committee process looking at all of those spreadsheets, trying to determine which projects sort of score the best, perhaps not just in one area, but score the best under a number of different criteria. And like the funnel you see here, a large amount of information goes in the top, but a smaller amount of projects ultimately have to come out of the bottom of it. And the key thing here is that we look at, like I said, was this 8 different criterion for scoring. 45% of the overall score is based on that congestion relief score. So by far, the biggest factor in our consideration is how much congestion does the project relieve. The second largest function is project readiness. How soon can this project be built? Which is, in a way, also a measurement of congestion relief. A project that can go to construction next year relieves more congestion than a project that's still in its planning stages. So we give a lot of emphasis to those projects which have already moved down the line a bit and can be brought to bear very quickly. Then we look at issues about how these projects interact with our transit system, whether there's funding coming from other sources, how can we leverage more funds, are we connecting different regional centers, and all of this data together equals what we call our NVTA score, the final score that gets used to evaluate alongside that congestion relief relative to cost issue. We're coming near the end of our process. You can see we approved our project selection criteria back in November, and we received those 24 projects that I mentioned before. We've been going through all the analysis. We're coming to the end. In the next couple of days, we'll finish up the public comment period June 9th. That's today. That's our public hearing. And then presumably on July 14th, Bastille Day, by the way, for you Francophiles out there, we will presumably be adopting our FY17 program. And that's the point where the final decision gets made. But there's still a lot of work left to be done between tonight and the end of that process. There we go. This is the project list, another slide that you cannot read from the audience, but I think copies were available out in the atrium. But if you have a paper copy, what you'll see is that we have projects submitted from most of the jurisdictions that are in the region, as well as projects that have been requested from most of the transit agencies in the region. And again, without going into the detail tonight, because I think most of you who are here tonight have probably looked at least some portions of this, but this is the list of 24 projects that will presumably have to be honed down to some smaller subset of projects that we can actually afford to fund. This is not your last chance to submit comments to us. We certainly want to hear from you tonight at the podium. But you're also welcome to still send us emails through June 17th at FY2017program@thenovaauthority.org. You can mail them to us. You can actually hand deliver them to us too if you'd like. You can even give us a call. We've already had a few town hall meetings in Prince William and Arlington counties, and we have a few more town hall meetings that we're going to be hosting over the next few weeks as well. So we're also out in the community receiving comments about all of these projects. And again, that'll end on June 17th. On July 1st, in this room, the Planning and Programming Committee will be meeting. That's a subcommittee of this body that will be looking at these projects and making what will be a recommendation to the authority that may or may not turn into what is ultimately the adopted list of projects. And then on July 14th, we'll adopt those projects, and the very next day, we'll probably start receiving contracts from some of those jurisdictions who are ready to move forward with the projects we approve for funding. The other last thing I said I'd mention again, the transaction update, not directly relevant to our public hearing tonight, but the update to transaction is extremely important. The document that we're starting to generate now will guide really all of these bigger transportation decisions that we're going to make over the subsequent 6 years. And what it's going to allow us to do is starting next year, starting with the FY18 program, is move from this year-by-year project funding process, which can be a bit clunky sometimes, to a six-year funding process, where we're able to look 6 years in the future and determine which projects are most important today, which ones will be most important in a few years, and lay out a roadmap for funding those projects so that when we fund the preliminary feasibility study for a project in the first year, we know that in year three, the money will be available for the design, subsequently the right-of-way, and in year five or six, we'll be able to allocate the money for construction of those projects. And we really need your update. We really need your feedback on this. We have a special website dedicated to this. It's, I think you'll have it up in a moment. It's nvtatransaction.org. And this is a really cool website. All throughout, over Northern Virginia has, as a region over the years, developed lots of ways for people to complain about traffic and then probably have your complaints sort of put into a binder and put on a shelf. This is the website where you can go, tell us what you think the biggest problems with transportation are in the region, and that will be reviewed by the people who actually have some money to fix those problems. And then will be incorporated into our plan for the future. Because we understand that it doesn't make much sense to have Northern Virginia politicians deciding what the biggest transportation problems are if we're not basing it on the feedback that we get from people that we represent who are driving in that congestion or commuting or riding a train or riding a bus through that congestion every single day. So please take some time over the next few weeks and months to share with us your thoughts on what we need to be doing, not just now, but really over the next 20 years as well. We've got a lot of places you can get involved. The main thing is go to our website, thenovaauthority.org, and you have all of these links to other ways you can contact with us. And do I have anything else? And we get back to the main slide. So thank you all very much. I hope I didn't go too fast. And we look forward to hearing from you tonight. And I'm going to go sit back down. I'll make a couple of quick introductions. I'm going to introduce, first of all, we have with us Monica Backman is our executive director. And she's the person who keeps me out of trouble by making sure I don't say things that I shouldn't. And we have a lot of jurisdictions. I'm not going to bother thanking everybody because it's too long a list. We have a lot of staff who work here, five others who work here at the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, and probably a dozen folks who work for the various transit agencies and localities throughout the region who were here answering your questions earlier this evening. I want to thank all of them. And then as I go back to my seat, I'm just going to ask, we'll just start here with Sandy. I'm just going to go around the table and have everyone on the authority introduce themselves so you know who you're talking to tonight.
Sandy Bichute, governor's appointee.
I'm Randy Minshew, representing the citizens of Loudoun County, the town of Leesburg, and the General Assembly.
Scott Silverthorne, representing the city of Fairfax.
Cal Parrish, mayor of the city of Manassas.
I'm Phyllis Randall, I'm chair of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors.
Sharon Bulova, chairman of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors.
Jay Fassett, on the Arlington County Board.
Allison Silverberg, mayor of Alexandria.
Karen Oliver, city of Falls Church.
Jeanette Mershall, council member, Manassas Park.
Helen Cuervo, the district administrator for VDOT, Northern Virginia.
Jennifer Mitchell, director of the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation.
And then a couple other introductions I'll make. We have a few public officials with us this evening, some of whom I know will be speaking, but not sure that all of them are. We have with us tonight Senator Jennifer Wexton. We have from the Loudoun Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Kristen Umstad. and Supervisor Ron Meyer are both here. We have a couple of mayors with us. We have from the town of Hernan, Mayor Lisa Merkel.
Tongue twister, huh?
Yes, it is. we have from the town of Leesburg, Mayor David Butler. Also from the town of Leesburg, Vice Mayor Kelly Burke. From the city of Manassas Park, we have Councilman Preston Banks. And is there anyone else I missed among electeds? Speak now for a world of peace. And then I guess one other introduction. We have with us also tonight the Deputy Secretary of Transportation, Nick Donahue, who obviously oversees a lot of the work that happens in transportation throughout the state. And obviously VDOT and the Commonwealth Transportation Board and the Secretary's Office are really the most important partners that we have in terms of making sure that cooperatively our region and our state are working together to bring to bear the best projects we can. And Nick, did you want to say a few words tonight for us?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the authority. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you here this evening. And I really want to echo the chairman's comments that the Commonwealth really views, you know, this as a partnership working with this region, both as the authority and also with local governments, members of the assembly, and other stakeholders in this region. Northern Virginia has some of the most pressing transportation problems, and it's going to take teamwork and coordination with all parties involved to really solve some of the issues that we have in Northern Virginia. I'm really here tonight because I want to talk to you about the I-66 Route 28 interchange and the Commonwealth's desire to partner with the authority to deliver that interchange as a part of the larger Transform 66 Outside the Beltway project. That project is a 22-mile improvement to I-66 from 495 out to University Boulevard in the west in Prince William County that will make that road so it has three general purpose lanes, as well as two new express lanes, which will be dynamically priced similar to the 95 express lanes and the 495 express lanes. But the project's not just about moving cars and that, it's about moving people. So it also includes 13 new bus routes, 4,000 park and ride lots, and really importantly, I think, for this region, it also includes about $800 million in funding that will come back to this region for improvements in this corridor from excess toll revenue that can be used to help improve BRE, I-66, and interchanges along with parallel routes along that corridor there. This project, I think, is probably one of the most regionally significant and statewide significant projects that's currently being developed in the Commonwealth. It's been evaluated under the statewide prioritization process, and it had the highest project benefit score. It was the top scoring project for congestion relief. It was the second highest scoring project for reduction in the number of accidents and fatalities, and it was also a top scoring project for improving reliability, as well as moving people in non-single occupancy vehicles. So I know a lot of people have talked about this project and said, you know, this is a project that only helps, you know, one mode of transportation in the region. And the simple truth is this project helps you whether you're driving by yourself, carpooling, taking a bus, telecommuting, or simply just need to get around in Northern Virginia. The project's also been scored by a regional 599 rating process, and it had the highest rating out of all projects that have been considered. We're currently in the middle of developing and procuring this project through a public-private partnership. As a part of that project, we need about up to $600 million that will help finance a $2.1 billion project, and that will be the public investment that would be needed to move this project forward. We have two private teams that are willing to take all of the toll risk, so that toll risk will be shifted away from the public sector and brought to the private sector side. They'll also be responsible for constructing, designing, maintaining, and operating that road. And then the Commonwealth will be responsible for operating the transit service, or Commonwealth working with its partners in this region will be responsible for operating the transit service that will be a part of this road, and then also handling the $800 million in net present value that will come back for other improvements in this corridor. I'm here tonight to ask that we'd like to partner with you. I know you're considering funding the $370 million interchange at I-66 and Route 28, and what the Commonwealth would like to do is say, partner with us. We will build that interchange as a part of the Transform 66 of the Beltway project. We would like to ask for up to $300 million from the authority, not $370, so that would immediately, you know, have some cost savings for the authority. But if there's other cost savings by building the interchange along with the broader corridor improvements, we would make sure that your funds were only 50% of the public investment. So right now we think it might take up to $600 million. If we find out in September when the private sector brings their bids back to us that only takes $400 million, then we would only ask the authority for $200 million. Similarly, if you know, great things happen in September and the private sector comes back and says, we can do this for $200 million. All we want is $100 million. And as the authority, what you would be able to do is, one, save money, because you wouldn't be paying the full $370 million for that interchange project. And then also it would be delivered sooner, because it would be delivered as a part of this project that is ready to go. And there are no independent plans ready to go on that interchange. I really want to express tonight very clearly that your support is key for this project. The Commonwealth Transportation Board on next Tuesday will consider allocating up to $300 million for this project. And we're here again asking you for $300 million. The decision is that of the authorities, and we really hope that you will act in the affirmative and partner with the Commonwealth. But I want to make sure members of the authority understand that should the authority choose not to partner with the Commonwealth, there's a very slim chance that this project will move forward, because very simply, we will not be able to come up with the public investment that's necessary to partner with the private sector. And that, with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Donahue? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, I'm now going to open up the public hearing tonight. And protocol usually says that we take our elected officials first, and I'm going to deviate that from that slightly. I've seen some public safety officials here this evening. Are any of the public safety officials here to speak in the public hearing? You are? Are you going to be on call tonight?
I am, but I've got something covering for me.
Do you want to go first is the question.
Sure.
All right. I don't need someone missing their time.
Thank you. Honesty is the best policy.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you this evening. My name is Tony Minow. I'm the chief of the Loudoun County Volunteer Rescue Squad, which is based out of Leesburg, Virginia. And I wanted to talk to you about a few things. You know, many folks here are probably going to talk about congestion relief and things like that, but I wanted to kind of bring another aspect to this whole discussion about the Battlefield Route 7 or Battlefield Market Street interchange in Leesburg. The plan on the books is to make that from an at-grade intersection to a flyover intersection. One of the things that we obviously face with that intersection, as well as all others, is motor vehicle accidents. And I just brought a few stats with me. And since 2008, there have been 50 personal injury accidents at that intersection. You know, it's one of the more complex intersections. It's one of the more busy intersections. We go there all the time. You know, and from a public safety aspect, making that a flyover just makes our job easier from the standpoint of people, the public, not getting into accidents out there or not getting into the same type of accidents out there. So a definite public safety concern that we've got as far as implementing that. Another aspect of it that is more specific to what I do in my when I go back to work tonight, when I go back to running rescue calls, is we travel through that intersection all the time. We travel through it as emergency responders. We travel through it with lights and sirens on. One of probably the most dangerous things I do as a medic is respond to a call with lights and sirens on. Once I get there, you know, then I'm dealing with patient care. But getting to a scene, traveling down the road, lights and sirens on, it's unpredictable what the public is doing, what are the drivers are doing, just makes it not the safest thing in the world, right? Going through an intersection is even worse. I dread going through that intersection. You know, probably between midnight and 4 in the morning, there's very few cars, if any, out there. That's fine. Any other time we're going through there, though, there are cars all over the place. It's multiple lanes with multiple turning lanes. So me in an emergency vehicle trying to negotiate through that is just something that I would definitely see as an improvement to our safety as responders when we're dealing with our calls. On the other end of the spectrum, I'm in Leesburg. We've got two hospitals that we deal with primarily. One's in downtown Leesburg, one's in Lansdowne. So responding to a call is one thing, but then we've also got to respond back with patients to either bring them to Leesburg or to Lansdowne. So again, we're traveling through there. It's typically not the same thing. We're not lights and sirens going to a hospital, but we are transiting through there with patients. Getting them to a hospital in a timely fashion is always important, whether it's a true emergency or just the fact that someone needs to get to the emergency room. Sitting in traffic and having to deal with more traffic than necessary just delays that. So kind of twofold flavor of what I wanted to bring to your attention is just the fact that we go to that intersection all the time for accidents. Like I said, 50 personal injury accidents since 08. I think we've had 3 this year in that area, and that includes the Cardinal Park area as well, which I know is included in the plan. As well as, you know, more specifically, it's to my interest being more safe in what we do day in and day out. Thank you.
Thank you. I should have probably given proper instructions, but Chief, you know, did a great job
he's been to some meetings. He knows how the timer works. For those of you who don't, I'll just share. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call up individuals sort of two at a time. I'll call up a speaker and at the same time identify who's next. If you're the next speaker, if you're on the on-deck circle, feel free to stand over here and wait. We do have about 25 folks signed up tonight, so we want to make sure that we give everyone their fair time. When you speak, every person will be given 3 minutes. The light comes on when your time begins. Yellow comes on at 30 seconds. When there's 30 seconds left, a yellow light will come on. At 3 minutes, you'll hear the buzz, and at that point, we ask that you sort of wrap up where you are at that point. That said, our next speaker will be Senator Jennifer Wexton, and after that will be Supervisor Kristen Olmstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the authority. My name is Jennifer Wexton. I represent the 33rd District in the State Senate. My district runs from the town of Herndon. My district runs from the, is the mic on? From the town of Herndon.
Can you stop for time until we figure the mic out? Is it on?
It's on. You just have to speak a little. From the town of, can you hear me now? Okay, I'm going to lean in really close and speak up. Runs from the town of Herndon in the east to the town of Leesburg in the west, and I'm here today to speak in favor of two projects for those towns that are appearing on today's round of projects. First is the Route 7 and Battlefield Parkway intersection. I know there are a number of other speakers who are going to address that issue, but this is the only Loudoun County project on the list, and that is because it is so, so important to our area. Over 80,000 vehicles go through this intersection every day. It is a major commuter route through Leesburg from points west and north to job centers in Dulles, Reston, and further east. It is a major artery for people who are either unwilling or unable to pay the very expensive tolls that we already have for east-west travel in Loudoun County. It is not only one of the worst bottlenecks you will see in all of Northern Virginia in the morning and AM and PM rush hours. It is also one of the most dangerous intersections in Loudoun County, as you have already heard. If this intersection is not funded, it will be the only remaining at-grade signalized intersection along Route 7 corridor from Route 28 all the way to Berryville. And getting those above-grade intersections is so important to our regional planning to keep traffic moving through Loudoun County and through the surrounding areas. The second project is for the town of Herndon. This is to widen and reconstruct a one-mile stretch the road between Monroe Street and Fairfax County Parkway on Eldon Street. This is another area where they've experienced a lot of different increased development, more cars traveling through the area, bailout traffic from Fairfax County Parkway, Route 28, Dulles Toll Road. And as a result, traffic volumes have increased every year along with accidents. They have about 98 accidents per year, many of those involving pedestrians and bicyclists. This stretch has also seen a lot of frequent roadway flooding since 2010 due to development. And these repairs and this reconstruction is necessary to correct this unsafe and dangerous street condition. It is essential to creating a safe and efficient transportation network to relieve congestion and the needs of this regional growth, and I would ask the authority to please approve both these projects. Thank you.
Next up is Supervisor Kristen Olmstead, who will be followed by Supervisor Ron Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the authority. It's a great pleasure to be back here tonight. I too, am speaking in favor of funding for the interchange at Battlefield Parkway and Route 7. As the senator said, 80,000 vehicles per day go through this interchange. That is more traffic than Route 81 takes through Winchester, and we see it every day. Right now, it is operating at a level of service F. Route 7 between Algonquian Parkway and East Market Street is planned to be limited access as specified in the Route 7 corridor plan. I'd like to mention some additional points. One is that Battlefield Parkway is a multimodal project, and the grade separated interchange at Route 7 will include a bike and pedestrian trail across Route 7, and that Battlefield pedestrian and bike trail will go all the way from the north intersection with Route 15 and the bypass all the way around town to the southern end of Route 15. It will provide a safe way for people to get across Route 15. Battlefield is used by the Loudoun County commuter bus system to access the county's park and ride facility on Sicklin Road. This will enhance the ability of our commuters to travel into the new metro station at Wheelie Avenue in Reston and points east. The interchange will also provide more efficient access to the Leesburg Executive Airport, which, according to the Virginia Department of Aviation, generates between $40 million and $70 million annually for this region. We have the second busiest general aviation after Manassas airport in the Commonwealth. And finally, the backup currently that is caused by not having these interchanges, grade separated interchanges in place, goes all the way from Leesburg in the afternoon to Route 28, approximately 10 miles of western headed traffic that is not able to move. And if we don't get this interchange built, fixing the other two at Ashburn Village Boulevard and Belmont Ridge Road will not result in the kind of congestion mitigation we are all looking for. So thank you, and we're hoping for a positive vote at your next meeting.
Next, Supervisor Ron Meyer, who will be followed by Mayor Lisa Merkel.
Chair Noe, members, I too am here for the battle for Battlefield Parkway's interchange. It is vital. I don't represent any area that's miles close to this. I represent Ashburn and the Broad Run District, includes parts of Sterling and a couple acres, the mayor tells me, in Herndon as well. So we're actually not very close to this interchange, but it affects us and it affects Loudoun. And this authority is supposed to really focus on regionally significant roads, and that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about it, because even though it's not in or around directly my district, it is something that affects my district, something that affects all of Loudoun. And it affects anyone who's along the Route 7 corridor. This would be the last remaining signal from way out west in Berryville. How many people have been out that far to Berryville? I know certainly Delegate Minshew has because he represents it, and all the way into Sterling. If we were to fund this, this is going to make Route 7 a major improvement, just like we did with Route 28, taking all the signals off of Route 28 until you get closer to where you are, Supervisor Noe. And just like with 66 originally, this is going to be a major significant change on that whole corridor because it will become a limited access highway. This is something that I also ran on in part because my big slogan, if you drove out to Loudoun, you saw my signs. My slogan was to build greenway alternatives. We have a toll road in Loudoun that whether you go a mile or 14 miles, you're paying $6 each way every day. If you're having to do that to commute to a job, that's already, some people, that's already an hour's pay out the door. $12 right there, gone. And so if we fund things like this, people can take Route 7 as an alternative to the Greenway. I'm working on some other ones in Ashburn. That was sort of my signature, but this is part of that Greenway Alternative Initiative. If we can make it so people can get from Leesburg into Tysons and to Reston and to employment centers, we're going to drastically improve people's lives in Loudoun County, and we're also going to be more business-friendly as an entire region. So I definitely ask that you fund this project. And I appreciate everyone being here tonight. I think you're going to see an incredible amount of speakers for this battle for the Battlefield Parkway interchange. I appreciate your time this evening.
Next up is Mayor Lisa Merkel, who will be followed by Mayor David Butler.
Good evening. I also concur with Supervisor Meyer, who the Greenway poses a big issue for people who are trying to get into the town of Herndon as well, so I thank him for his comments. I have a prepared statement in the interest of time. I'm here to speak on the Eldon Street Improvement Project. The town of Herndon has been and will continue to be severely impacted by the substantial development that's happening all around us in Fairfax County and in Loudoun. The town streets are being used as an alternative to larger routes like Fairfax County Parkway, Route 28, the Dulles Toll Road, the Greenway, et cetera, and it results in ever-increasing traffic and congestion through the Eldon Street corridor. Additionally, Herndon serves as a regional workforce destination. We have 25,000 people who commute into the town each day to work, which is equal to our population who lives there, who is largely commuting out of town. So the result is heavy commuting traffic at the morning and evening rush hours. The Eldon Street project will assist in mitigating that impact. Despite the lower score that our project did receive, it does relieve congestion and provides for multimodal connectivity. Traffic volumes are significant between Herndon and Fairfax County Parkways. Typical volumes are between 35 and 40,000 vehicles a day. To relieve current and future congestion, the Elsie Street project balances auto congestion relief with improved pedestrian, bicycle, transit circulation, and connectivity to the Reston and Herndon metro stations. The project includes bike lanes in both directions, serves at least four Fairfax County connector routes, and provides pedestrian bike connectivity to four of our regional trails. It's a concerted effort to encourage people to get out of their cars and to reduce the vehicular congestion in the town. The project also incorporates a critical flood mitigation measure to resolve the significant and more frequent unsafe Sugar Land Run flooding that often covers and closes Elsie Street. VDOT's bridge culvert design addresses the existing safety issue by elevating the roadway to accommodate an upgraded, larger capacity culvert that is necessary due to the development within the Sugar Land watershed area. In summary, the purpose of this project is to relieve peak hour congestion while also improving safety, multimodal connectivity, and circulation for drivers, pedestrians, cyclists, and transit riders. The Elsie Street project has been listed in VDOT's six-year improvement plan since the year 2000. Significant sections of right-of-way have already been acquired by the town. The engineering design is currently underway, and the environmental review has been done. So VDOT's public hearing is scheduled for later this year, so if the funding is allocated for this project, Herndon is prepared to begin the Elsie Street project and move forward with it right away. And we appreciate your consideration this evening. Thank you.
Mayor Butler, followed by Vice Mayor Kelly Burke.
Mr. Chairman, authority members, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am also speaking on the interchange at Route 7 and Battlefield Parkway. A couple years ago, James Boyce of Harper's Ferry left his home in the morning on his motorcycle and intended to drive through Leesburg. He never made it. He stopped at the light at that intersection and was struck by a pickup truck behind him who didn't stop. The pickup truck was driven by someone in Winchester. Now, is this accident obviously the fault of the pickup driver? Yes. Are fatal accidents at that intersection rare? Yes. But accidents are not rare. There's for the last 5.5 years, there's been an average of 1.5 accidents a week at that intersection. Another point about this is that this is not a regional intersection. It is a multi-state intersection. There are many, many thousands of cars that travel through this intersection every day from Maryland, West Virginia, and southern Pennsylvania, as well as from west of Loudoun. And all those people are coming to work and to spend money in Northern Virginia. Now, the light, we changed the light so that the east-west traffic can move easily. What this also does is it affects the north-south route on Battlefield. Battlefield is where people from Leesburg use to get around town. So this intersection, because there's not an interchange there, when someone like myself is traveling from north to south or south to north on Battlefield Parkway, we come to a screeching halt at that intersection, and we can stay there long. So this affects the people in my town, and it affects the safety of people in my town, and I hope you will fix it. On a very light note, that Supervisor Umstadt mentioned that this is a multimodal intersection as well. Well, Leesburg is in the process of creating both a Leesburg loop, both a small inner loop and a larger outer loop that's designed for trails and bicycles, kind of patterned after Arlington. Arlington, from a multimodal standpoint, is our hero. And we can't do that without this intersection. You cannot get bicycles across that intersection without creating a real problem. So in short, this intersection is already a significant bottleneck for not only the people of Leesburg, but the people of the multi-states. And it's a safety hazard for both the people of Leesburg and the people from those states. And so I urge you to fund this intersection, and thank you for your time.
Next up is Kelly Burke. We'll be followed by Evan McBath.
Chairman, members, of the committee here. I want to also speak in regard to the Battlefield Interchange with Loudoun County and Leesburg. As you've heard, the corridor consists of one of the worst bottlenecks in Northern Virginia. It is it's a significant problem in our area. You've heard all the stories about what's happened there and what it's like to travel through there. You heard that from our fire chief what an issue it is for them to get through. I recently talked to our ECHO group, which drives the disabled young people around town to jobs, and they are terrified of this intersection. They go to great lengths to avoid it, which causes more problems for them because the jobs are located around there and it makes a longer commute. And we know that sometimes those people with disabilities struggle with being confined in a van for a long period of time. So it affects us in regard to traffic. It affects us in regard to safety. We have many people that live across Route 7 and go to over on the other side for jobs. And to watch them cross this intersection is horrifying. The intent was always to have the overpasses deal with the situation. It will make a huge difference to many of the people that live within Leesburg and Loudoun County. When they talk about, you've heard that it was a multimodal project, that's not insignificant. You're going to hear from the bike population that that's a very important aspect, and that that this is one component that will make it so that we can complete these loops, and it's very important. We have an airport that really depends on good transportation to that airport. It is a huge economic driver, and this intersection impacts that airport. Virginia estimates that this airport generates between $40 and $70 million of positive economic development for Northern Virginia, not for Loudoun County, but for Northern Virginia. And so for those reasons, I'm asking you, for all the reasons you've heard before and the reasons that I've just given you, I'm asking you to please give this a positive consideration. And thank you very much for all your time.
Thank you, Mr. Trevor. So we have Evan McBath, who will be followed by Sean Dykeman.
Good evening. My name is Evan McBath, and I'm from Leesburg, Virginia. I don't suppose there are any federal officials here? Didn't think so. I want to circle back to something that was noted earlier about this being the only Loudoun County project on the list this year. Loudoun County is also the largest, highest income county in the United States that does not have an interstate. And that way, we are different from every other locality on the NVTA. We do not have the option of federal funding that many of our neighbors do. In fact, the only option we have is you guys. So we're asking for one thing, and you guys are pretty much the place that can do it for us. This is a multimodal, above-grade interchange, and that matters. That matters a lot. Because Leesburg, my hometown, is a very economically diverse place. A lot of us represent economically diverse places. And many of my neighbors in Leesburg don't have cars. They have to walk to work. They have to walk to work across intersections like this. Right now, it's not very safe for them to do it. I don't want more work for the chief. I want it to be safer. So I'm asking for your vote next month in favor of the Battlefield and Route 7 interchange, because you guys are the folks that can get that done for us, and it will make a huge difference for many citizens of Leesburg, Virginia. Thank you for your time tonight.
Like that. Next up, we have Sean Dykeman, who will be followed by Jerry King.
Good evening. My name is Sean Dykeman. For those who don't know me, I'm the president of the Loudoun County chapter of the Virginia Police Benevolent Association, representing 350 sworn law enforcement officers within Loudoun County. On behalf of the law enforcement officers I represent, we're asking for your support tonight for Project 1U for the funding of the interchange of Route 7 and Battlefield Parkway in Leesburg. This intersection is currently a stoplight-controlled intersection with three westbound lanes with an additional three turn lanes, three eastbound lanes with an additional three turn lanes, two northbound lanes with an additional three turn lanes, and two southbound lanes with, yet again, three additional turn lanes. The intersection is heavily used by commuter traffic along with the residents of Leesburg and Loudoun County. Such a high volume of traffic through the intersection has resulted in over 169 crashes since 2014. Prior power outages in the area, law enforcement personnel have been pulled from their normal duties to direct traffic. As most people know, typical procedure for approaching an intersection where a stoplight has lost power would be to treat it as a four-way stop. With this intersection being so large and heavily traveled on the Route 7 corridor, that just cannot be done. It requires at a minimum of two officers, but to safely do it, you would need four. Law enforcement officers have spent many hours manually directing traffic, which directly puts their lives at risk. Living in the smartphone era, this typically normal law enforcement operation has become more inherently dangerous to the profession. With your approval, this project will help also remove the stoplight located at the Cardinal Park Drive intersection, located directly west of the intersection, with that traffic being diverted towards Battlefield Parkway. This project would complete the existing Route 7 corridor projects and making it a limited access highway. If the funding is not approved, traffic will be coming down Route 7 from Route 28 at 55 miles an hour, which everybody travels, and come barreling into Leesburg to have to stop at traffic lights located at Battlefield Parkway and Cardinal Park Drive, potentially creating more of a risk to the public with vehicle crashes. The law enforcement officers of Loudoun County are asking for your support for approving the Route 7 Battlefield Parkway interchange in order to help make the roads safer to travel.
So Jerry King will be followed by Edith Frankel Keller.
Good evening, Chairman Noe and members of the authority. I'm Jerry King. I'm chairman of the Alexander Transportation Commission. I'm here to present the city's comments on MBTA draft FY17 program. At its May 18th meeting, the Alexander Transportation Commission reviewed 24 candidate projects seeking funding for MBTA's FY17 revenue program and hosted a town hall meeting for public comment. For FY17, the city proposed two candidate projects for funding consideration, the West End Transway requesting $7 million and the Potomac Guard Metro Rail Station requesting $66 million. The Alexandria City Council has endorsed both of these projects for the FY17 program. The City of Alexander continues to work toward a multimodal transportation system. Both projects are included in the city's transportation master plan, as well as larger regional plans, such as the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments Transportation Planning Board's Constrained Long-Range Transportation Plan, and meet many of the goals identified in the Regional Transportation Priority Plan. Both projects also address MBTA evaluation criteria, including connectivity, congestion, safety, cost sharing, pedestrian and bicycle connectivity, and reduction in vehicle miles traveled. In addition, they promote concentrated growth in existing and planned activity centers, such as North Potomac Yard, which will have a significant additional growth in population and employment. These two projects and their support of development and concentrated activity centers helps reduce VMT and congestion within the city, as well as in outer suburban areas within the region that would otherwise see additional growth in an unconstrained manner. These two transit projects also include associated bicycle and pedestrian improvements, which encourages walking and bicycling, thereby further reducing congestion at VMT and also provides connections within and between activity centers. We strongly believe both projects should be funded within MBTA's FY17 program. The City of Alexandria is going through the final phases of the environmental impact statement process for the proposed Potomac Yard Metro Rail Station. The planning for the station has been underway for over 10 years, and it is the highest transportation priority within the city. We anticipate release of the final EIS in the next several weeks, and we'll be going to City Council for zoning approvals, hopefully this month, with plans to issue a request or proposal for the design-build contract this summer. This spring, the city adopted a locally preferred alternative for the West End Transitway, and the project is now moving into the project development phase. The transitway is a key element of the city's multimodal system, and the requested funding is an essential component to moving the project forward. The city appreciates your consideration of this recommendation and requests that the full consideration be given to these comments for the FY17 program. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. King. Next up, we have Edith Frankel Kelleher, followed by Brian Falls.
Good evening, Chairman Noe and members of the authority. I'm Edith Kelleher, Executive Director of the Southeast Fairfax Development Corporation, or SFDC. We're a nonprofit economic development organization that has taken the lead on revitalization in the Richmond Highway Corridor since 1981. Thank you for the opportunity to address you regarding the crucial importance of the Fairfax County request for $5 million for the widening of Richmond Highway, Route 1, from Napa Road to the Mount Vernon Memorial Highway. Last year, preliminary engineering and environmental assessment received startup funding. However, continuation of funding is necessary to meet critical milestones for other parts of project preparation, such as completion of the engineering phase, utility relocation, site plan, and right-of-way acquisition. These elements must be in place for the project to be eligible for construction funding. Once the ongoing federal Fort Belvoir widening project is completed, this approximately 2.5-mile segment will be the only remaining bottleneck along the highway. Currently, this is a four-lane segment separated by only a double yellow line in many places without benefit of curbs or sidewalks. The speed limit is 45 miles per hour as it is on the rest of Route 1. Problems in this segment include flooding, erosion, and increased pedestrian accidents, including pedestrian deaths. Working along this corridor, I'm puzzled by the low score this project received in certain categories. For example, this segment is a bottleneck for drivers originating in Alexandria City, Prince William County, and beyond. Therefore, the project should have scored higher on connecting jurisdictions. The potential to reduce vehicle miles would be greatly enhanced with the provision of space for the median bus rapid transit, BRT, recommended in the 2014 VDRPT multimodal study. BRT will also dramatically improve operation of existing facilities through technology applications, another measure that appears mistakenly calculated. Supports multiple use development patterns in walkable and bikeable environments was given only medium rank, although the community business centers along Richmond Highway are largely planned for mixed-use pedestrian and bicycle-friendly development, and this transformation is already underway on other portions of the highway. In summary, supporting Richmond Highway widening will leverage federal funds already being spent in the corridor, improve safety, connect multiple jurisdictions, enhance walkability and bikeability, assist in planning for transit, etc. I'm in yellow. With increased population of persons needing transit, the growth of through traffic, and more than 77,000 vehicles a day entering Fort Belvoir's main post, Richmond Highway needs the improvements that have been pending for decades. I appreciate your taking the time to listen to this testimony and for coming down to the highway next Tuesday evening. And I hope you, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next we have Brian Falls, who'll be followed by Ron Campbell.
Let's see if this works. Good evening, Chairman Noe, members of the authority. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Brian Falls. I am the Government Affairs Manager of the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for the opportunity to offer comments on the FY 2017 funding program. We all understand that addressing Northern Virginia's congestion crisis is vital to our region's long-term economic prosperity and quality of life. We all understand it was the public's frustration with traffic congestion that prompted the General Assembly to direct this body to give priority to projects that most effectively reduce congestion in the most congested corridors and intersections. To that end, the Loudoun Chamber supports the following projects as regionally significant congestion relief projects: I-66 and Route 28 interchange improvements, the Route 28 improvements from the Prince William County line to Route 29, the Route 7 widening from Colvin Mill Run to Jarrett Drive and the Dulles Toll Road, the power upgrades for the Metro Blue Line, and the Fairfax County Parkway widening from Route 123 to Route 29. We also believe that Route 7 Battlefield Parkway Interchange in Leesburg should be added to that list, Battle for the Battlefield. Loudoun County is the fastest growing county in our region. In fact, a just released report from the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates Loudoun County is adding jobs at the third fastest rate in the country. Furthermore, our region's labor shed extends deep into West Virginia, Western Maryland, and even Central Pennsylvania. Consequently, Route 7 is a major regional commuter route, no different from I-66, I-395, or Route 28. And it is already heavily congested, with the Battlefield Parkway intersection ranking a level of service of F. All other at-grade access points along 7 from Algonquin Parkway to East Market Street in Leesburg will soon be grade-separated interchanges. That makes the Battlefield Parkway intersection the only choke point in the entire corridor from Berryville to Route 28. The funds requested for the parkway are for construction, meaning that the Battlefield Parkway project can move forward now and provide congestion reduction return on your investment in short order. Finally, as you've heard many times before, the Battlefield Parkway intersection has the highest accident rate in the town of Leesburg. Over the last 7 years, there have been 472 serious accidents in that intersection, resulting in either significant property damage or significant personal injury, including two fatalities. So fixing that intersection is vital to our strategic investment in this region and moving it forward now. So we urge you to support the projects that I mentioned, and we urge you to give all due consideration to funding the Battlefield Parkway project for FY 2017. And I thank you again for the opportunity to present the Chamber's position on these important topics.
Next up we have Ron Campbell, followed by Kevin McNulty.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the authority. I've broken it already. I'm a 16-year resident of Leesburg, and I'm here tonight to support the Route 7 Battlefield Interchange Project. And let me start by saying all projects matter. And as a citizen, I really try to understand your criteria, the process that you've gone through, the great projects that you've funded before, but also tried to find, in my own mind, a way of thinking, what could I say tonight to sway you to approve our project for funding? And one of the things is this quality of life, that this is not just a road that goes through our homes, but the people that pass through also interact with our lives, with our businesses, economic development, with our communities, with jobs, with our way of life, and even our communities and our neighborhoods. And as I looked at your congestion reduction criteria, and the two things that you try to take a look at, the congestion reduction relative to cost, I would ask you to consider the congestion reduction relative to benefit and how beneficial this particular project will really be to the lives of not just the residents of Leesburg, but certainly to the county. And again, Leesburg is the county seat where the county government resides. But I also believe that the improvements in the quality of life for our neighborhoods, our town, and the Commonwealth, this project, and I'll probably be a little bit bold in saying this, will open up Leesburg and the rest of our county to the world. I believe that the quality of life is just that important to us, where this is not just a simple project. We appreciate all the other funding for the road improvements that you've made along Route 7 and really believe that that investment will not go to waste if this project is supported. Again, the project cost is one thing relative to benefit, I really believe is another. I appreciate all the things that other residents and elected officials of Leesburg have already said, so I won't go into that. But thank you for your time, and hopefully you'll fund our project.
We have to have Kevin McNulty, who will be followed by Jason Oafland.
Chairman Noe and members of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, my name is Kevin McNulty, and I'm here before you this evening as a representative of the Northern Virginia Chamber of Commerce and our 700-member businesses with over 500,000 employees. The Northern Virginia Chamber was a leading voice in the effort to secure sustainable transportation funding because we believed it was vital towards enhancing our region's position as a top business destination. The ability for Northern Virginia to retain and attract business is dependent upon the implementation of 21st century transportation solutions. Unfortunately, our region is consistently recognized as the most congested metropolitan area in the United States, and there are many corridors in the region that are in need of funding. However, we ask you to allocate the current funding available towards projects to go the furthest towards reducing congestion. The Northern Virginia Chamber believes the criteria in the HB 599 process is the most appropriate towards achieving our shared goal of reducing congestion. Of the projects considered for the 2017 program, the Northern Virginia Chamber thinks the following projects are best suited towards achieving congestion relief, providing infrastructure that spurs economic development, and producing the best return on investment for the taxpayers of the Commonwealth. The I-66 Route 28 improvements, Route 28 improvements from the Prince William County line to Route 29, Route 7 widening from Colvin Mill Run to Jarrett Drive, Metro Blue Line power upgrade, Fairfax County Parkway widening from Route 123 to Route 29, and finally construction of new metro station and ancillary facilities at Potomac Yard. We look forward to working with you, our elected leaders, to build a 21st century transportation network throughout the region. Thank you for your consideration of our position, and thank you for your service to the Commonwealth.
Next, we have Jason Ufland, followed by Craig Lane.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jason Ufland. I represent Leesburg Corner Premium Outlets, which is the outlet mall in the town of Leesburg. I'm here to talk about the Battlefield and Route 7 interchange project. First, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak to all of you guys tonight. I'll echo many of the sentiments you've already heard for everyone speaking on this project, but I think it underlines or shows how critical it really is to the area, both in Leesburg as well as the surrounding area. With the population and business growth we've seen, it's already been alluded to, it's critical to continue to build that base in the traffic system and to help alleviate the issues at that intersection. You can go through at any time of the day, and we'll see that, except maybe around midnight or 4 in the morning, it was mentioned earlier, that you're constantly going to have an issue there, have traffic, accidents, things of that nature. I would like to point out with the overall regional plan, like the biggest piece of it, an opportunity, if you will, is if all these other projects that are getting funding and looking to make Route 7 a limited access area, it would be key to get this in the pipeline as well to help complete that entire goal of making the region interconnected, if you will, as well as the fact that kind of a bonus to it, providing the multimodal and ability to have the pedestrian and bikeway opportunities for everyone is great for the community as well as the town. And I just want to wrap up by saying I hope you guys give it strong consideration. And thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir. Craig Lane, followed by Gwen Pengel.
Not come out of your time, by the way.
Well, let's come out of time.
I trust me, but be short. Mr. Chairman, members of the authority, thank you for allowing me to speak. Ms. Craig Lane. I'm a resident of Kincaid Forest, and I serve on the Homeowners Association Board of Directors for the Kincaid Forest subdivision. I did not find out I was going to be speaking here tonight until our HOE meeting Tuesday of this week, where I got the short straw and was asked to come down here to speak on behalf of the Route 7 Battlefield Parkway interchange project. Many people have come here before me because of my late arrival and late sign-up, and they have spoken all the points I wanted to make in favor of that project. That's kind of the bad news. The good news for you is I'm not going to repeat any of those points. I'm going to go right to summary and simply state and request on behalf of the residents of Kincaid Forest, we appreciate your support of that project. The project's ready to go. Let's build it together. Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Lane. Gwen Pengel, followed by Ken Reed.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the authority. Thank you very much for being so attentive to all of my very eloquent colleagues who painted a very broad, far-reaching picture of just exactly what the Battlefield interchange means to us. What I'd like to do is say that I chair the Economic Development Commission for the town of Leesburg and the Leesburg Downtown Business Association. So if any of you have ever been to our little historic downtown Leesburg, please picture it now. We have two major thoroughfares going through our small town. North-south, from Maryland all the way through to Prince William County on Route 15, and east-west, Route 7 coming through town. Our streets are pretty narrow, and this morning I had three dump trucks whiz past me as I was walking downtown. But this is about livelihood, This is about Leesburg becoming the choke point if you don't do this interchange, and how that will affect all of the people, not just out there. And we have these talking points, I'm sure. I'm not sure if you have them, but any one of us would be willing to share them with you. I'm not going back through the money and our F grade and all of those wonderful things that we deal with every day, but I wanted you to just sort of feel the pain of the folks in Leesburg who are now inundated with traffic that sits still or whizzes through Route 15 and Route 7 coming through Leesburg. And that will only get worse as the last point on Route 7, which could be a clear thoroughfare from all the way up to, from Berryville all the way down to 28, becomes the choke point if this interchange does not get done. So I implore you, please move us up. Please do this project, whatever you need to do to make this happen. We would be most grateful. Thank you very much.
Next we have Ken Reed, Supervisor Ken Reed, followed by Bob Chase.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Obi-Wan Kenobi, and if you don't know what that means, friend him on Facebook. Okay. I want to also acknowledge our Chairman Phyllis Randall and Randy Minshew, our great Loudoun representatives who've been here tonight, and Town of Leesburg representatives. Thank you for standing up here for Battlefield Parkway, which is a project that I've been battling for, if you will, since I moved to Leesburg in 2002. I actually co-chaired a group called the Citizens, the Coalition to Complete Battlefield Parkway. And as Leesburg's supervisor most recently, 4 years ago, before the funding went in for this 70-30% NVTA, I was able to get this on the list for a priority for the Board of Supervisors. And then the town staff and the county staff worked to make it into a joint 70% project. I'm very appreciative of the $13 million that was funded for design and engineering last year, but I'm really quite shocked by the ranking that this project got from your staff. I live right around the corner, like Mr. Lane. Okay, so we go through this intersection every single day. I work at home right now, but I do go out every day, and I see traffic backing up, believe it or not, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the town of Leesburg has not approved any housing or any real development there in many, many years. So it's not as if the town of Leesburg is coming here and saying, well, you know, we need a bigger pair of overalls because we've approved all this development. They have not. There's a Lowe's going in. And other than that, there's no new housing development that's causing the impact. It's just the regional growth in general. This is an important regional road. People are coming in from the West, Delegate Minshew's district, coming in from Maryland, and the light is becoming a problem. I'm concerned that if you do not keep this funding continuous, this is going to be ending up competing with other Loudoun projects next year. And I'm concerned the IJR, the Interchange Justification Report, is good for maybe 7 or 8 years. But it's not uncommon, if we have funding problems in North Virginia, that things are pushed off and off and off. So we're going to start spending more. I think 55 or 58 million, whatever this costs, is a pretty good deal. This project is not just good for congestion relief, but we have people who are crossing that road. They're not supposed to. When the town built the hiker-biker trail that Supervisor Umstead mentioned, they stopped it short to not encourage people, but still people are crossing. They are crossing. And amongst those folks are work release prisoners. They have to walk from the county jail nearly 2 or 3 miles away to get to their jobs along Route 7. They're wearing reflector jacket, vests, and so forth. Sheriff, try to get the sheriff to give them a ride. They don't give rides to work release prisoners. So they're literally walking across 6 lanes of traffic. I don't really like the idea of that happening. And I really think that we ought to be looking at the pedestrian side of this and the bike side of this as well. So I hope that we will get funding for this, and I hope that this will stay, this project will keep moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Next we have Bob Chase. We'll be followed by Stuart Schwartz.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Nancy Smith is on maternity leave, and I'm not. With regional transportation needs far outstripping available regional transportation dollars, the authority has a difficult job. That job is made more difficult by provisions that distribute nearly one-third of all regional dollars to local governments and require benefits to be proportional by localities over time. Of the 24 project applications, Only two score higher than 50% on the 599 congestion reduction, and only five score higher than 40% in 2040. Of the 24 projects, the Alliance recommends the I-66 Route 28 interchange, the Route 28 improvements, Route 7 widening, Blue Line Metro power upgrade, Fairfax County Parkway widening, and the Potomac Yard Metro Station. Projects that we believe should not receive regional dollars include the Falls Church Bike Share and East Falls Church Metro Station, which rank dead last in congestion reduction. These projects also reflect the Alliance's concern that the authority's quantitative scoring process exaggerates the value of projects that benefit relatively few people. Under HB 599, each scores 2.2, but when combined with the quantitative measures, their scores approach 50. There's no requirement to spend every available dollar every year. Prudence dictates that investing now in several high-ranking projects and holding funds in reserve until Transaction 2040 can rate more projects. Bottom line, there's a lot of talk about Metro stewardship. When completed in 2001, the original 103-mile Metro Rail system was considered world-class. Repeated warnings of maintenance backlogs were ignored. 15 years later, Metro was a mess. During the next 15 years, the authority will have stewardship over $3 to $4 billion regional dollars. Its stewardship over this period will determine whether congestion on our regional network will be less or continue to lead the nation. Previous transaction plans have been largely collections of locally nominated projects. For our region to be globally competitive, Transaction 2040 must be strategically focused on solutions that best meet the most significant regional demands. All projects of great regional significance, including the Bi-County and Tri-County Parkways, American Legion Bridge, New Potomac Crossing, Regional Express Bus Network, must be evaluated. Spreading lots of money around on lots of regionally insignificant projects is easy. Exercising the discipline to choose wisely and focus on projects of greatest regional significance is hard but necessary. To paraphrase the recently departed Dos Equis man, choose wisely, my friends. Thank you.
just to clarify some questions, to Mr. Chase's point, the actor who played the most interesting man in the world is still alive. They sent him to Mars. The Gambrinus Import Company of San Antonio, Texas. Character went to Mars. The actor is still doing fine.
Mr. Schwartz endorses all my remarks, so you can speak.
Mr. Schwartz will be followed by Kevin Wright.
You've heard of yin and yang. I'm Stuart Schwartz. I'm the executive director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. We're a 19-year-old organization. Work in close partnership with those doing smart growth development. Work closely with the Conservation Community and Affordable Housing Groups as well. We definitely appreciate the hard work of this body, elected officials, the staffs that have worked so hard on this and are trying to evaluate these projects in a holistic way, looking at all the needs that transportation can meet in our community in terms of quality of life. We don't want to lose sight of an end goal. And, you know, we have promoted this idea for a long time. It is now adopted in Region Forward. It's part of the focus of just about every jurisdiction right now and every developer, and that is that the mixed-use, walkable, mixed-income, bikeable, and transit-accessible communities are the future. That's where the market is going. People want more urban communities, even in the suburbs. It may be a completely different density, but it does have certain attributes of a local street network, complete streets for bike and ped, and creates great value and quality of life for people. And contrary to what Bob says, these are regional solutions. If 1 million to 2 million people are coming here today and we just spread them out in the 1950s suburbs, it won't work. Our arterials, like Route 50 we saw tonight, will only get worse. And at what point do you stop widening them? And, you know, we have to reduce the demand on those roads. That's why in this mix of things, we tend to support those things that support walkable, bikeable, transit-oriented centers, whether it's the bike share to East Falls Church and West Falls Church, Potomac Yard Metro Station, Crystal City Streets and Transit, the East Falls Church Regional Connectors, Seven Corners Ring Road actually is a key TOD transit-oriented development supporter. While we will support these same things at the Loudoun County Metro Stations as well. The other transit investments, West End Transitway, Blue Line Traction Upgrade, connector buses, and so forth. I won't list them all. You know, the problem with the congestion reduction metric is that it, you know, it doesn't recognize induced traffic. If you build it, they will come. And, you know, there are a lot of widenings in here. We understand the pain. We deal with it as well. We all of us drive at some point and deal with this traffic and deal with the bottlenecks. We can fix them, but then what's the plan 10, 20, 30 years down the road? And I think we have to do a lot more with scarce money to reduce the demand to drive through the way we design our land use. The Route 28 interchange is arguably more important than the expansion of I-66 too far west. I mean, it does address a bottleneck, although we're nervous about allocating all your money and not keeping it as a full state responsibility. We actually wanted a transit and land use first alternative for that corridor, combined with an interchange fix like that particular one. You know, this Route 7 battlefield bypass is very interesting and troubling in some ways. We're glad it's going to improve safety, pedestrian, bike access. We understand the dangers and risks of this bottleneck. But, and I'll finish with this, think about how much easier you make it to live even farther out every time we expand one of these. So we really have to think about the land uses to the west in Loudoun. Certainly I've talked to our friends in West Virginia. We make it too easy to commute long distances, and people will as long as gas prices remain low. So thank you very much as you wrestle with this, and we'll send our comments later in formal writing. Thank you.
Mr. Schwartz. Next, we have Kevin Wright. We'll be followed by Sonia Brahe.
Mr. Chairman, members of the authority, thank you. My name is Kevin Wright. I'm a resident of the town of Leesburg, and you will be very surprised to hear that I'm here to talk about Route 7, the Battlefield Parkway interchange. I will do my best not to repeat the points that have already been made. I will highlight this is obviously a regional improvement. This traffic is moving not just regionally, but as our mayor stated, in an interstate method. This project is previously identified in the transaction 2040. This is will be the last kind of peg to make Route 7 achieve the limited access highway. And the one thing point that hasn't been highlighted yet is this is a two-for-one project. So there's actually two lights that this removes. So it's the light at Battlefield, and there's a immediately adjacent intersection that it also removes the light for. So it takes those last two choke points away, and that's one of the reasons this is such a dangerous intersection. This, as you've heard, it is operating at a level of service F, and it's one of the things that does that also hasn't been highlighted yet is it is creating congestion within the town of Leesburg, as well as the impact for the east-west corridor, and as it impacts that traffic. So we talked about how Battlefield is our internal network for our local residents. Our local residents aren't able to function on that road because of the, as we refer to it, fascinatingly long light, because we're trying to favor Route 7 east and west. So they then find their way onto the Route 715 bypass, which is intended for interstate traffic, and that's just putting that much more traffic onto that major choke point. Every year we wait, the congestion is only going to get worse. I previously served as chair of the Planning Commission. As I was sitting there, I was realizing that was like 12 years ago, and this was a major priority then. It is even more of a priority now. Every year we wait, as you guys well know, watching the cost of these projects go up, the congestion is going to get worse, the cost of this project is going to go up, and the impact of the other projects that are being done along Route 7 to relieve that congestion will not be realized unless this last choke point is met, because we're backing up all the way through those other projects. So with that, I'll thank you for your time and appreciate your all's consideration.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Sonia Brahe, followed by Kelsey Crane. Folks, we're coming near the end of our list. If there's anyone who hopes to speak tonight but has not yet signed up, this will be your last call to do so.
Okay, good evening. My name is Sonia Brahe, and I'm here tonight to speak as a Falls Church resident. I've come to ask that you approve the funding for the City of Falls Church Bike Share Connections to the Orange and Silver Line Metrorail Station as part of your fiscal year 2017 program. Capital Bike Share is a great program that has proven successful around the region, and I want to see it expanded to Falls Church. Having bike share in my community would offer a very real transportation option for me and my family, as well as many Falls Church residents, people who work in the city, and those visiting. Falls Church is lucky to have access to the Orange and Silver Line, but the East and West Falls Church stations aren't always close enough to walk. As an example, I live within a few miles of the metro and I use it frequently, but accessing the stations usually requires that I drive or have someone drop me off. Having access to bike share would provide a new option for accessing transit. It would also encourage local trips around town to be made by bike instead of car, altogether helping to remove cars from the local roadways and reducing congestion. The addition to Capital Bike Share to Falls Church would also provide access to neighboring networks in Arlington and soon Tysons in Fairfax County, and will help to build out the larger network that also includes D.C., Alexandria, and Montgomery County. Having access to this network offers me choice when I plan my trips, and it also also offers me choice when my planned route is congested or experiencing delays. I may just pick up a bike share if I learn that there are service disruptions on the metro or that significant roadway congestion is complicating my drive. Having several options, transportation options, to navigate my commute offers me greater reliability. The City of Falls Church has been making great strides in promoting bicycling. They've adopted a bicycle master plan. They've implemented several bike routes and infrastructures around the city, including working with neighboring jurisdictions in Arlington and Fairfax to enhance those connections to the transit stations and the regional trail network. But now they're working to expand bike share to the city by next summer. Falls Church Bike Share is an important piece to a regionally significant bike share network that ultimately supports multimodal improvements to the I-66 corridor. It is a cost-effective congestion relief program, and I ask the MBTA to please support the city's efforts and provide capital funding necessary to make the bike share in Falls Church a reality. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Kelsey Crane will be followed by Preston Banks.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. I'm Kelsey Crane. I am with the Sierra Club, the oldest and largest environmental nonprofit in the country. Here tonight, I'm representing the over 15,000 members in Virginia. During the past 15 years, Northern Virginia and the metropolitan Washington region have moved toward focusing development in more compact mixed-use communities near transit. These decisions are reaping significant economic benefits as major employers and retail businesses seek to locate in walkable, bikeable areas near transit. They also significantly mitigate traffic congestion by giving people more alternatives and reduce pollution and greenhouse gases, gas emissions. Transportation accounts for 26% of carbon emissions in the United States. Our regional transportation investments should encourage this path towards focusing growth in activity centers near transit and expanding transportation choices in Virginia. Experience has shown time and time again that new road capacities fill up quickly, and an effective congestion mitigation strategy must focus on reinforcing more compact mixed-use transit-oriented developments such as the Route 1 corridor and a VRE station areas in Prince William, the future Silver Line station areas around Loudoun, Tysons, downtown Falls Church, and the Blue Line corridor in Arlington and Alexandria. Major employers want to locate in these kinds of areas, and people will pay a premium to live in these kinds of areas. Focus on expanding transportation choices will better address the root causes of our congestion problems and much better add lasting values for our communities and our local tax bases. Often, our municipalities develop long-term plans for environmental sustainability initiatives and transportation plans distinctly and separately. Transportation planning can successfully address the relationship between transportation and climate change by prioritizing well-connected, multimodal, and transit options. MBTA's ranking system does include a broad range of measures that take into account cost-effectiveness, coordination with land use, and reducing vehicle miles traveled. The smaller scale projects such as improved bicycle and pedestrian connections to transit at East Falls Church in Arlington and stations in Falls Church have a big bang for the buck because they're much less expensive in most road projects, and they act in concert with positive land use patterns and make it possible for people and easy for people to walk, bicycle, and use transit in the region. These projects have a regional benefit by connecting to regional transit systems and relieving pressure on the regional road network. Some of these projects should be funded, but they are not currently funded in the 2017 project selection process. Thank you for your time this evening.
Next, we have Mr. Banks, to whom I owe an apology. I did not have you on the...
I fell asleep.
Mr. Banks, Councilmember Banks, will be followed by Howard Albers.
Thank you, and thank you, Chairman Noe and MBT members, for this opportunity to speak tonight. I speak on behalf of the City of Manassas Park for three projects to be included in FY 2017 program. First is the I-66 Route 28 interchange improvement. The second is the Route 28 widening from Prince William County line to Route 28. I think my wait was long. Being on Route 28 is even longer. And I think it's, we can move people from the congestion and traffic on Route 28 to their homes or work or over their destination. That would be a great thing. In regards to the Manassas Park BRE station parking expansion, I was surprised by its rating. Chairman Noe, you have an excellent point. We are a diverse region. This is a diverse project. Riders at the Manassas Park BRE station parking lot come from all areas of Northern Virginia. 45% come from Prince William County, 13% from Mayor Parrish's city of Manassas, so 3%. And 13% come from Fairfax County. Also think that the Manassas Park BRE station parking expansion project provides model balance or project balance. Out of the 24 projects on the list, only 6 are transit. Now, and especially in the future, we need to move vehicles off the roads, and I think we need to support transit or mass transit projects. And my last reason for the Manassas Park BRE parking station is it's the only project in Manassas Park. And it's also a safety issue, too, because it's, the parking lot gets crowded. People have to cross the railroad tracks. And it's 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning. Adults running across railroad tracks isn't the safest thing. And eventually an accident is going to happen. So I ask for you to include in the FY 2017 program these 3 projects. Again, it's the Route 28 widening, the I-66 Route 28 interchange improvement, and the Manassas Park BRE station parking expansion. Thank you.
Next we have Mr. Howard Albers, followed by Robert Mantle.
Good evening. My name is Howard Albers, and I live in Fairfax, Virginia. And I'm a member of the board of the Fairfax Alliance for Better Bicycling, also known as FAB, and I'm speaking on behalf of the board of directors. FAB recommends that the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority approve funding for Project 6W, also known as the Falls Church Bike Share Connections, to the Orange and Silver Metro stations. The project will help reduce congestion in Falls Church City streets and plays a key role in providing short-distance transportation needs. For the most part, regional public transportation networks exist in Northern Virginia, and plans are in process to improve the network. The weakest link, however, is the traveling the short distance to the nearest bus stop or to the nearest rail station. The proposed bike share service will help resolve this weakest link. The system design will have as its anchor points the East Falls Church and West Falls Church metro stations. Having appropriately spaced bike share stations between the anchor points are needed to make the system operate efficiently. Bike share will provide commuting in the city of Falls Church for those that walk and will give them another transit option, one that complements the existing bus and metro options. The neighboring jurisdictions, as was earlier said, the district Arlington, Alexandria, and Fairfax County have or will soon have a bike share systems. Bike share will provide a low-cost transportation solution and needs to be funded. For FY17, Project 6W is the only transportation package aimed exclusively for bicycling. Federal and Commonwealth of Virginia policies are clear that bicycling is a form of transportation and must be included in all decisions for making transportation decisions. In 2015, the City of Falls Church approved their Bicycle Master Plan and included the tagline, connecting communities. It's begun a good planning process to build new trails and bike lanes, and they have submitted a well-researched bike share proposal, and it deserves to be funded. The Project 6W will improve the health and fitness of the users, contribute to the environment, and most of all, reduce congestion in the city, and also help connectivity within the region. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Robert Mandel, followed by Robert Whitfield.
Good evening. My name is Rob Mandel. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the Crystal City Business Improvement District. We're a public-private partnership that's charged with changing how people see, perceive, and experience Crystal City. And as Chairman Noe so artfully illustrated, transportation matters for perception and experience. And so that's why I'm here today. Accessibility is an important part of our program in Crystal City, and we wanted to talk a little bit about the Crystal City Streets Crystal City Streets and Transit Project. I think it's 8Y. As a bit of context, the Crystal City area consists of about 10 million square feet of office, about 8,000 residential units, almost 6,000 hotel rooms, and about 1 million square feet of retail. If you take a slightly wider lens, we're actually the largest downtown district in the entire Commonwealth, even greater than Richmond, and that's including Pentagon City, Potomac Yard, the Pentagon, and the airport. And as with any major downtown, getting people to, through, and from is especially critical to maintaining economic sustainability and driving economic activity. And the Crystal City Streets Project, which includes regionally significant roadway improvements as well as an extension to the area's, the region's first regional BRT system, is one such investment. Now, this project enhances regional mobility in a number of ways that weren't explicitly touched upon in the original application by Arlington County. First, it supports the Crystal City Sector Plan, which envisions a large revitalization plan for Crystal City that's going to increase density quite significantly. And in so doing, the project will expand transit capacity as well as reconfigure roadways to reduce spillover effects onto U.S. Route 1 in particular. Second, the project actually leverages funds that were outlaid in fiscal year 2014 by this body to mitigate Blue Line service reductions through additional bus capacity. And the current Arlington County Transit Development Plan has a premium bus line that isn't technically approved yet, but is likely to be. And this new line will actually utilize the new transit extension that is part of this project in a way that speeds access and enhances reliability between Fairfax, Alexandria, and this major job center, not to mention the regional metro rail system. Finally, the Crystal City Streets Project does something else for a project that's coming. The Interstate 395 Hot Lanes Project is actually going to increase capacity for the highway and vehicles entering into Crystal City without major changes to the local roadway networks. The congestion mitigation benefits of that project will suffer. So I'm hoping that that you guys will take a second look at the Crystal City Streets Project to help ensure continued access and economic sustainability. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Rob Whitfield, to be followed by Matthew Kahn.
Good evening, Chairman Noe and members of the NBTA. I'm dressed like this because I spent much of the afternoon on I-66 and on the Beltway. I had to go up to Rockville and back, and there was a truck fire somewhere along the way. That really set me back. So I assume that the projects we're reviewing here are just the regional funding projects. It has nothing to do with the local funding. Is that correct? So therefore, we need to consider regional projects, and I have proposed, I haven't got this into legislative form, but to be considered a regional project, it seems to me that the majority of benefit has to be to the region rather than to the locality. And so I'm going to propose for General Assembly something like that the majority of the benefits have to be beyond a certain radius, whether it's 3 miles or 5 miles. So certain projects on here, such as bike stands in East Falls Church, clearly have no role in a regional funding plan. In fact, they presented information to the NBTC last week, which I think said something like there were 12 bike ports. But the whole point is that the cost of this project is astronomical. Reminds me of the $1 million bus stop. We need to focus on regional needs. Local needs have funding separate than this, and let the localities decide that. I guess I want to claim for VDOT the benefit of those new traffic congestion signs. I certainly, and the overhead signs on the time of travel. This morning, trying to get into the Metro Board meeting, I got to the Beltway and the sign said 32 minutes to the Roosevelt Bridge. I thought, oh God, what am I going to do? So I actually went down to Springfield and up through 95. And I made it in 22 minutes to the 14th Street Bridge. Signage is the kind of thing that we need within the region, improved signage. Unfortunately, we only have it on certain roads. We don't even have it on the Dulles Toll Road. As to the Leesburg situation, I observed a bad accident there a couple of years ago, the day after Thanksgiving. And I suggest that as a near-term step, you need a variable traffic sign as you come westbound from where Wegmans is. And there's a Holiday Inn there. And right now that sign says 55 miles an hour. I have no idea why it's 55. It should be a variable sign based on the congestion due to the shopping center. I support the Battlefield overpass because I do see its benefit. By contrast, we heard about Herndon. I certainly don't see the benefit of that project to the overall regional need. The other thing which I'm sorry we don't have is the integration of the VDOT projects where the VDOT funding is in relation to the NVTA projects, because it would help us see in the localities where the benefits are. And so I will provide you more comments in writing.
Thank you, Mr. Whitfield. Mr. Khan, good to bring us home tonight.
Chairman Noe and members of the authority, I'm Matt Khan. I'm broker owner of Falls Realty. And although I'm speaking as a 30-year resident of the city of Falls Church and a Virginia taxpayer for 35 years, I'm also a director of the Virginia Association of Realtors and past chairman of the Northern Virginia Association of Realtors Public Policy Committee and RPAC trustee. And I served as a member of the City of Falls Church's Board of Equalization for 15 years, 9 as chairperson. And I was significantly involved in rallying support for the tax increases for congestion reduction, related especially to HB 599. I come before you to speak in opposition to the Falls Church Bike Share Program and the East Falls Church Metro Access Project. I believe that the formula used in evaluating these projects greatly overvalues these projects and causes funds to be spent in ways which go against the legislative arguments and promises made during the political process that authorize this taxation and spending. Essentially, these projects would be spending a disproportionate amount of money for very little, if any, effect on our collective quality of life. People willing to take bike rides significant distances already have bikes. And we couldn't get people to ride on our George bus, which tried to facilitate the local transportation. If they were proposing traffic light synchronization on Route 7, it would cost less and affect the congestion much more. When a project's value is not reflected in noticeable congestion relief, support for the taxes and process will continue to dissipate. I do support the Northern Virginia Business Coalition's priorities, however, including the I-66 Route 28 intersection improvements and other proposed Route 28 improvements north from the Prince William County line, the Route 7 widening from Coven Mill Run to the Dulles Toll Road, the Metro Blue Line power upgrade, and the Fairfax County Parkway widening from Route 123 to Route 29. In closing, I would ask you to invest our funds wisely. And thank you for your time and efforts to improve our collective quality of life in this area by specifically focusing on congestion relief with traffic. Thank you.
And with that, we will close tonight's public hearing. Remind folks that the public comment period remains open until June 17th.
At 5 p.m.
So please feel free to visit our website, where there's a number of means by which one can reach out to us and provide further comments. And again, thank you to all the speakers who came out, and thank you also to those of you who patiently sat and heard all these comments with us. With that, again, the public hearing is closed. And